Ladies and gentlemen, the Vice President of the United States.
Stand up,
that leading our military is certainly, it could not have been done without the steady, dedicated, persistent leadership of the President of the United States. Mr. President, just 66 years ago. In the dense, snow-covered forests of Western Europe, Allied forces were beating back a massive assault in what would become known as the Battle of the Bulge. And in the final days of fighting, a regiment in the 80th Division of Patton's 3rd Army came under fire. The men were traveling along a narrow trail. They were exposed. They were vulnerable. Hundreds of soldiers were cut down by the enemy. And during the firefight, a private named Lloyd Corwin tumbled 40 feet down the deep side of a ravine. And dazed and trapped, he was as good as dead. But one soldier, a friend, turned back. There were shells landing around him amid smoke and chaos and the screams of wounded men. This soldier, this friend, scaled down the icy slope, risking his own life to bring Private Corwin to safer ground. And for the rest of his years, Lloyd credited this soldier, this friend, named Andy Lee, with saving his life, knowing he would never have made it out alone. It was a full 4 decades after the war when the two friends reunited in their golden years. But Lloyd learned that the man who saved his life, his friend Andy, was gay. He had no idea. And he didn't much care. Lloyd knew what mattered. He knew what had kept him alive, what made it possible for him to come home and start a family and live the rest of his life . It was his friend. And Lloyd God's Son is with us today. And he knew that valor and sacrifice are no more limited by sexual orientation than they are by race, or by gender, or by religion, or by creed. That what made it possible for him to survive the battlefields of Europe is the reason that we are here today. That's the reason we are here today. Many fought long and hard to reach this day. I want to thank the Democrats and Republicans who put conviction ahead of politics to get this done together. Ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a topic in my first meeting with Secretary Gates, Admiral Mullen, and the Joint Chiefs. We talked about how to end this policy. We talked about how success in both passing and implementing this change depended on working closely with the Pentagon. And that's what we did. And 2 years later, I'm confident that history will remember well. The courage and the vision of Secretary Gates. Of Admiral Mike Mullen, who spoke from the heart and said what he believed was right. Don't tell. But who never stopped fighting for this country, and you rallied, and you marched, and fought for change. I want to thank everyone here who stood with them in that fight. Because of these efforts, in the coming days, we will begin the process laid out by this law. Now, the old policy remains in effect until Secretary Gates, Admiral Mullen, and I certify the military's readiness to implement the repeal. And it's especially important for service members to remember that. But I've spoken to every one of the service chiefs, and they are all committed to implementing this change swiftly and efficiently. We are not going to be dragging our feet to get this done. In the professionalism and patriotism of our service members, just as they have adapted and grown stronger with each of the other changes, I know they will do so again. I know that Secretary Gates, Admiral Mullen, as well as the vast majority of service members themselves, share this view. And they share it based on their own experiences, including the experience of serving with dedicated, duty-bound service members who were also dead. As one Special Operations Warfighter said during the Pentagon's review, this is one of my favorites. It echoes the experience of Lord Corwin decades earlier. We have a gay guy in the unit. He's big. He's mean. He kills lots of bad guys. No one cared that he was gay. But I think that sums up perfectly the situation. So, want to speak directly to the gay men and women currently serving in our military. For a long time, your service has demanded a particular kind of sacrifice. You've been asked to carry the added burden of secrecy and isolation. And all the while, you've put your lives on the line for the freedoms and privileges of citizenship that are not fully granted to you. You're not the first to have carried this burden. For while today marks the end of a particular struggle that has lasted almost 2 decades, this is a moment more than 2 centuries in the making. There will never be a full accounting of the heroism demonstrated by gay Americans in service to this country. Their service has been obscured in history. It's been lost to prejudices that have waned in our own lifetimes. But in every turn, at every crossroads in our past, we know gay Americans fought just as hard, gave just as much to protect this nation and the ideals for which it stands. There can be little doubt. All gay soldiers who fought for American independence, who consecrated the ground at Gettysburg, who manned the trenches along the Western Front, who stormed the beaches of Iwo Jima, their names are etched into the walls of our memorials. Their headstones dot the grounds at Arlington. And so, as the first generation to serve openly in our armed forces, you will stand for all those who came before you. You will serve as role models to all who come after. And I know that you will fulfill this responsibility with integrity and honor, just as you have every other mission with which you've been charged. And you need to look no further than the service men and women in this room. Distinguished officers, like former Navy Commander Zoe Dunning. in Iraq during the initial invasion, quelling an ethnic riot, earning a Bronze Star with valor. He was discharged only to receive emails and letters from his soldiers saying they'd known he was gay all along and thought that he was the best commander they ever had. There are a lot of stories like these. Stories that only underscore the importance of enlisting the service of all who are willing to fight for this country. That's why I hope those soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen who've been discharged under this discriminatory policy will seek to re-enlist once the repeal is implemented.
Every patriot. We are a nation that
believes that all men and women are created equal. Those are the ideals that generations have fought for. Those are the ideals that we uphold today. And now it is my honor to sign this bill into law.